You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We're going to have Two Live Crew founder Luther Campbell on with us in a little bit. He's going to pop in, and I don't know what we're talking to him about. I know Billy is always here to talk to him about a number of different things. I suspect it'll be about the unhoused on Virginia Key, and perhaps they will have a political brawl of some sort, because I don't think that Luther and Billy have exactly the same politics.
No, we don't.
But Roy, before we get to Luther Campbell, I see that Mike Ryan is doing around you what a lot of people do around Billy Corbin these days, which is get that perforated paper and seek advice on what the hell should I be doing with my ballot, whether it's mail-in or early. I don't know how to vote for commissioners. Who should I be voting for? And Billy's answer is always, well, I'll give you the least of the seven evils.
Yeah, I would be doing the same thing, except I live in Broward. So
nobody's perfect.
Yeah.
So, Mike, what are you seeing there? Without boring the audience to tears, a lot of people will be doing this with Billy. I trust Billy with my ballot because I believe he will be more informed than most people on this. But I hate that every time I ask Billy anything, all he's ever saying is, these are really, really awful choices. You're just choosing something that's going to be slightly less disastrous, but still disastrous.
So these are pretty big elections. There's Congress representatives on the line right now. There's circuit court judges, and you know that's one of my passions, is following the circuit court and making sure that we have the right people
in place. There's no way to make this segment entertaining, but Billy does offer advice. I want people to use Billy's information and expertise. Tell them where they can get information from you on how to vote if they care about this segment or care about this city.
Can we maybe do sexy voice circuit court judge?
Not you doing it. That makes it no better.
It
makes it worse. There's no way to make this entertaining, but tell people, without boring them with all of the choices that need to be made, help Mike Ryan and help the audience select their ballot.
Yeah, it's a bad, bad ballot this year, at the risk of stating the obvious. It's one of the worst I've ever seen. I think I mentioned it last week that, like, people always think, you know, some of the bigger assholes on social media always say, oh, Billy, it's always so helpful when you post your sample ballot so I know who not to vote for. I can vote for the opposite. And meanwhile, my ballot this year has Republicans, it has Democrats, it has independents. It has a pretty cross-section of the cesspool of incestuous corruption that is Miami-Dade County. The judges are hard because unless your attorney is practicing in front of them, you don't really know who these people are. So what I actually do is I go out into the community and I talk to a lot of lawyers. I look at what some of the Florida bar ratings and opinions are on some of these judges. And I provide on my Twitter account and on my Instagram page a sample ballot that just says who my picks are. These are not my picks for who I think is going to win. They're not even people that I'm advocating for or endorsing or recommending. These are just the picks based on the choices that we have here. And
the terrible choices that we have.
In some cases, they're terrible choices, yes. There's not a lot of people on this ballot that I'm proud to vote
Mike is staring at perforated papers.
There's some big ones here. Commissioner of Agriculture seems like it's a big one. The one that I'm most interested in, though, is the 11th Judicial Court, the circuit judge election, because if you filled up a gas tank in South Florida, you're familiar with Mark Blumstein, whose whole campaign strategy is just advertise at gas stations. It gives me insight to where his political leanings may be. However, he is going up against Ariel Rodriguez, who I am hoping is fake related to the fake Alex Rodriguez shadow candidate. And if so, I may vote just as an anarchy cast for Ariel Rodriguez, if he indeed is a fake candidate.
And also, one of the things you'll notice about Mark Blumstein's ads is that he is in his, like, military.
I always say thank you for your service
uniform,
anytime I'm pumping up gas.
Which some people have argued is dubious with respect to ethics, that he's out there in his military uniform campaigning for judge on that. And I have heard that issue come up from some lawyers. But I will tell you, the majority of people in the legal profession who have argued before Judge Bloomstein have recommended him. And he is my pick on the ballot.
So
Mark
go with Mark.
Yes, sir.
We're not sure if Ariel Rodriguez is a real Rodriguez.
How many shadow candidates are on the ballot? And can you explain to me the controversy around the military uniform?
Well, the controversy is simply it's an ethical issue, is that here is a man who is sitting judge, running for judge. In his political ads, he is portrayed in his full getup. It's nice to know that he served and we can admire and respect him for that. But it becomes a little questionable ethically when you incorporate that into your
why gas campaign. Stations. It was pretty smart. I've noticed every gas station I pull into, there's an ad of his in full uniform.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But there's a lot of political
Billy,
ads.
How can we sit here every week and go through the sewage septic tank that is corruption and politics in Miami, and you think the wearing of a military uniform is unethical? And I understand the conflict. I understand the conflict, and I understand that the bar, you're not supposed to be, that the commercials, however it is that you go about making these commercials, I understand the ethical conundrum. I'm just laughing at the idea of ethics being considered at all in any of these elections.
What I'm saying is that, like you said, I've gone out and I've talked to people and I've done the research, and I'm telling you what the worst thing people are saying about this guy is. Where does it scale in the world of Miami politics? I would say very, very low. But what I'm saying is that's the worst thing they can say about him. I also have people that I respect who really respect Ariel Rodriguez, who is a real person, and people are lawyers like him, and people are voting for him.
Strike against.
But I'm just telling you, A-Rod is not on a lot of lawyers' lists.
I'm going to pick your brain after you get off the air, and you're not going to sway me. We disagree on several things, primarily Freedom Park. But I do want to ask you one last question on the mayor's, the congressional seat. That one seems like it's a big one. Maria Elvira Salazar. I don't like her, right? I don't like her. I think I've seen her name before. I've seen clips, and it taps into like the America First thing.
Maria Loca. Yeah. She is not stable or well-respected, even in Republican circles. And wait a second. You're a registered Republican.
I am.
Because this is a primary, so if Maria Elvira Salazar is on your ballot, you're a registered Republican. I'll talk to you later, Mike.
No, I think you're a registered Republican too, aren't you?
No,
or
I'm
did
not.
You switch?
I was an NPA since unaffiliated independent since I was 18 years old up until a couple years ago.
So I registered when I first registered. I obviously registered Republican. I haven't been Republican for the last 5 election cycles. I haven't agreed with the Republican Party on much of anything since John McCain brought on Sarah Palin as a running mate. That's kind of when
that was
like,
your turning point.
That was, when that was really the seeds of what the Republican Party ended up catering to a little bit. Some would argue Reagan, but I'm just saying in my lifetime. But I, in a bit of anarchy, and this is what I really think is the best thing, I want to keep the Republican Party in check. And I feel like if I can still vote in the Republican primaries, I can say that the loudest voices in the room don't necessarily dictate what should be the Republican Party when it comes to whether it be geopolitical policy or fiscal conservatism, some of the things that I may be more in line to agree with, or at least I was when I was a certain age. I just want to make sure that I work against America First Trump Republicans, and I can't do that if I can't vote in these primaries.
It's very sophisticated. You know what they normally say is that a Republican under 30 has no heart and a Democrat over 30 has no brain. You're on the side of good here, though. You're on the side of the gods.
I think that makes me the cowardly lion.
Yeah.
Luther Campbell is now with us. He is joining us from what looked like a sunshine-soaked golf course. Do you guys have any bones to pick with Luther Campbell as NIL makes an appearance, as the University of Miami is back in the game, as he is putting on social media, private jets, and things he needs to not be doing?
I can't tell you anything. There were off-air conversations that I wanted to have with Luther Campbell about, maybe don't tweet out private jets. I understand you have an empire of your own, Luke, but on signing day, probably not the greatest of looks.
The hell, Luke?
That's a hell of an intro.
Well, I just can't believe after all these years, again, I mean, it's been 25 years since I told you be careful about the stuff that you're doing around the University of Miami. And again, Luke, again,
hey,
now?
Hey, if NILs were legal when you were going to University of Miami, Dan, you'd be sitting in this seat right now. You made a living off of discovering NILs before NIL was actually happening.
I was on your side.
That is not what NIL should be compared to, for the record. No. I know you've spoken to compliance. Let's chill out.
Dan harassed me, Mike. You with me, Mike. Dan harassed me at golf course. See, he remember the golf course. That's why he said golf course. I'm not at a golf course. He harassed me. The man ran me down at every golf course I went to, asked me, did I pay Tiger Williams or whatever his name's in Charles Farm?
Tiger Clark.
I didn't
Williams.
Even pay them. Those were the wrong people.
Those weren't the people you paid. They were other people you were paying. Those weren't the people you paid.
From a Vancouver Canucks Tiger Woods.
This shit. Hey, Billy, I don't know why you didn't interview and I'm mad with you because you're Dan's friend. You were supposed to crucify Dan. Dan, you brought down, you single-handedly brought down the University
Look,
of Miami.
People wanted me to crucify you, Luke. They wanted me to crucify you.
You let Dan off the hook.
Oh, come on.
Got all these people on here right now, and the one black guy. You.
Yeah, the one black guy didn't vote for you when you ran for mayor.
Oh, shit. Oh,
hey, wait a second. You didn't vote in Coconut Grove.
That's true.
Why the black man don't do enough talking on this show, Dan?
I talk plenty, Luke.
Okay, well, you need to point your face to the thing. They got you pointing that way. Point your face to the mic. Yeah. We need to see you.
Is that better?
Yeah. I represent the NABJ.
So do I.
Association of Black Journalists.
And so do I. I'm a caucus
member. I'm your representative. Don't let Dan put you on the back burner.
Who's putting him on the back burner? You're not.
You are deflecting, my friend.
You are not a member of the National Black Association of Journalists? What are you talking about?
All this is to say, please stop tweeting photos of private jets on signing day.
Listen, Mike, it's by all means necessary. I coach high school football. I got to figure out a way to get some guys.
Luther.
Card carrying.
I know. Roy just whipped out a card carrying journalist. You are not a card carrying journalist.
Yes.
Luther Campbell pretended to be a journalist. That was an imposter, is what you are.
In the words of Cleavon Little, excuse me while I whip this out.
Yes.
Luke, how excited are you that Miami is spending big money to actually play legitimate professional minor league football?
Luke's always been spending big money for the Miami Hurricanes to play professional football.
Listen, man, I'm really excited. I just hope that, you know, the man's stock went up and the stock went down. So I'm just hoping we still got some money to pay the people. We started paying people off, the stock was at $10 a share. And now it's at $1, Mike.
The victory is that the saga actually went public. So we cashed out. And he ain't the only guy out there, Luke, as I'm sure you've heard. Just play it cool.
I'm excited. Hey, Dan, I'm really excited. Let me be politically correct. I'm happy that we're paying people. I think you, the billionaire you are, you went to the University of Miami. You need to be doing NILs.
Luke.
You and Billy.
Agreed.
Well, Luke, I'm happy to announce we will have some news. It's an announcement of an upcoming announcement. I am happy to announce that we will be doing what you're asking us to do in very short order.
Oh my.
Dan Levitard is going to eschew his reputation amongst UM fans who absolutely despise him, and he's going to put his money where his mouth is, and he is going to enter the NIL fray.
Boy, the NCAA is going to come in here like the FBI at Mar-a-Lago.
We have.
Oh, what a great day that was.
Billy, I have done all the work with compliance. I have had several calls with UM compliance officers. I am making sure that every I is dotted and every T is crossed, and we are in line to announce shortly our very first NIL deals.
The NCAA rating Meadowlark. That's what you're going to.
Hey, they got enough problems with just me.
Because then I'll be doing a column on Dan in the Miami New Times.
Uh-oh. Is that a threat?
Oh, because he's allegedly, yes, a card-carrying member of the Black Journalists. I seem going to a lot of ethics conventions on...
I can't wait till somebody having to watch Miami High Lie at Battle Court is an NCAA infraction.
I want to talk to you, Luke, because you've played the politics game in Miami. You've tried to make your voice heard. You've run for office, and I've heard some of what you've had to say about the unhoused on Virginia Key. Billy, before we ask Luke about that, do you want to catch people up on the latest developments?
The latest since last week when Commissioner Joe Carollo had proposed a homeless transition center, really a homeless encampment on the North Point Park of Virginia Key, famous for its nature preserve, famous for being home to the historic black-only beach back in the Jim Crow South era of Miami. And now Mayor Francis Suarez has come out with Joe Carollo and said that they're going to put a pin in that plan for 6 months. Clearly, since business doesn't get done in Miami in the sunshine in public meetings, because Francis Suarez doesn't show up to a public meeting unless he's being paid as a lobbyist for a millionaire, a billionaire, sports team owner, or real estate huckster. So he, of course, does all. He took Joe back and said, like, I don't want to have to veto this or not veto this. Don't make me look bad or have to make a hard decision. Why don't we go and have a press conference that we're not going to do this for now and just kick the can down the road. And Joe, of course, came out. Joe, you know, is Luke's BFF. He came out and said that people were playing the race card here. Luke was playing the race card when he brought up the historic Virginia Key Beach, you know, and was basically not fighting fair. So Joe is definitely going to bring this up again and try to bring this homeless encampment back. But for now, he's been pacified by Francis Suarez. He made some kind of shady backroom deal, and Luke was playing the race card.
Was it the noise that made them back off? What happened
here? Oh,
hell
yeah.
What happened, Luke?
Luke was noisy, man. Luke was noisy.
Well, here it is in a nutshell, Dan. See, normally me and Billy, two ships sailing and shooting in different directions, you put both of us together and shooting at one ship, it becomes catastrophic. So, yes, it was the noise of me and Billy both going hard at them. The people over there who were doing all the protests, the people who were trying to preserve the rich life over there for all the animals that are over there, those people, they were more instrumental in doing a petition. They got over 10, 15,000 people to sign the petition, more than these guys get votes. And that kind of made them get a little quiet on that issue.
But the race card, Luke, Joe Carollo, your best friend.
Let me tell you, Dan, I'm 60. You know, I'm older than you. That was the only place my parents could take me and my brothers to swim. I let them know that. I had to remind them that, because every now and then, sometimes people around here forget the history, and they forget the fact that there are still some real Miamians that live here. You know, that beach was the only beach, and it still is today, because they don't want us on South Beach. That's why I ain't at your studio today, because in fear of going to jail or walking by black, being black. You know, he's the only black guy that has a card still able to go.
It is. It's his card that gets him past all the securities here. It's his card carrying black journalist card. Yeah.
I mean, you know the history of Miami Beach and all the other beaches where black folks had to be on the beach at 6 o'clock and they could not get in the water. And that was our only beach. And so they preserved that beach as a historical, you know, national park. To put a homeless shelter right next to it, I mean, that's crazy. They already knew. If they put a homeless shelter next to it, and the first thing I was saying is automatically you're going to deem it commercial, because you have to change the, you got to change the restrictions and the bylaws to make it a place where you can stay at. Once they do that, once they change those laws, then that then brings in the contractors. And so we expose that. Me, Billy, and everybody else say, look, we know what y'all guys are trying to do. Y'all trying to build some condos to overlook Fisher Island, which is going to cost $15 million a condo. And what people don't realize, they say, well, we're not going to do that because it's a waste field next to it. Well, if you remember, before the hurricane, the waste field was a zoo. That was the zoo. And so they just changed it and turned it into a waste field, moved the zoo. They could easily, you know, easily turn that back into easy zone it back for commercial use.
Well, that's the play, is it not? They're just trying to steal the land, correct?
That's all it is. Yep. You ain't going to put no homeless. Listen, man, let's be real. You're not going to have a homeless shelter in the back window of other people from Fisher Island. That's not going to happen. it's a commercial play. Once you deem it, and we had Billy Goodfriend on the space, his good friend that's running for Congress. I ain't going to call his name because I don't want to give him no extra advertisement. He basically said it was going to be a concentration camp out of the Book of Ross Perot, where they're going to put a big fence around it. Just think about this. Right across the street from Seaquarium, you have a concentration camp with a fence around it. You're going to build some little huts, and you're going to bus people in from downtown to Key Biscayne to then stay there. That's not going to work. There's going to be women getting raped. It's going to be kids getting raped in there. It's going to be so much crime. The place is going to be raided. And then that's when they're going to create this big old smoke screen. Oh, we need to build a new building. But then it would have already been moved to commercial property. That's what we do around here, Dan. Do the money grab, Dan. It's your people who do that.
Well, and you have to remember, of course, there's the...
my people.
Whoa.
My people. I mean, he ain't wrong.
All right. Thank you. Good night.
The Cubans do go through those coffers. I can't.
Wait a second. Hang on, though. Hang on. Time out now. Christine.
It ain't Billy people. It ain't my people, Dan.
Luke.
Oh, no.
My favorite uncle. Hang on now. The people who voted for this, there was 3 votes for this on the dais at the Miami City Commission. Joe Carollo, who hatched this harebrained scheme. Alex Diaz-Loportilla, who was a no before he was a yes. That was some shady shit we can talk about later. But the 3rd vote was Christine King, who is the puppet of Keon Hardiman and the Hardiman crime family, who you are, they're your BFFs.
So two
out of the 3
look
votes,
at this,
Luke.
The
two,
race card.
Two out of 3 votes,
interesting.
Luke.
My people were in there.
2 out of 3 votes for this scheme were your people. You campaigned for these folks.
Interesting.
3 Americas.
And by the way, when I say your people, I don't mean black, I don't mean white, I don't mean Cuban,
no,
I don't mean Jewish.
Your
people. You support that. You help them get elected.
These criminals.
Listen, Cubans and blacks are finally working together.
To do corrupt shit? What do you say?
Hey, listen, man.
Oh, Dios mío.
Listen. Oh. Christine King is upset with me that I did not campaign for her. For the record, I do campaign for Keon Hardiman. And me and Christine, you know, we're okay. But... And Carollo, I could talk to Carollo because he beats the man up so much. Suarez, that's my good friend. I basically raised him.
Uh-oh. He's good friends with Suarez. How in God's name? Have you heard the things that Billy has said about Suarez?
Listen, man, Billy was in the pool swimming with Suarez. He didn't tell you that part, and his dad.
We were raising money for kids. We were raising money for the parks in the city of Miami.
Billy beats up on these people. He support them people, then he beat up on them.
When did I support them?
You didn't support Cava?
Danielle Levine Cava? I absolutely did endorse Danielle Levine Cava.
And you beat up now.
Because I don't beat her up. I tell the truth, Luke. I'm not in a cult,
no,
man.
You're right. Look, you're right. He did endorse her and she betrayed him.
She didn't betray me. She betrayed the people of Miami-Dade County. She went back on her commitment to be a reformer. She went back on her commitment to be a progressive. She went back on her commitment to move Miami forward out of the cesspool of corruption we've been in.
Look at how happy.
And decided to swim around in the swamp.
Look at that gap tooth smile I've been watching for 40 years. He finally got you. Look at him. You pissed him off. That's exactly what he wanted to do. It's all he came here for. That's it. Look at him. He's applauding. Look at how delighted he is because he's gotten you enraged. He's gotten you totally out of your face melting rage.
I'm not in a cult. None of these people are my friends. They are politicians, they are public officials, and they are entitled to every bit of criticism that we can rightfully, factually, and truthfully throw at them. Listen, I know Keon Hardeman is your friend. He supported the Liberty City Warriors, the Optimist League, which is a good thing, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate you that you are a transparent and transactional guy. You say, he's my guy because he did an X, Y, and Z for me, did a good thing, and I appreciate that. The truth of the matter is, though, is that if they're corrupt, they're corrupt. I don't care if they're white, if they're black, if they're Cuban, if they're Venezuelan, if they're Colombian, if they're a Democrat, if they're a Republican, if I voted for them or not. In fact, if I did vote for them, I have more of a responsibility to call them out, Dan, on their show.
Yes, Luke.
Dan, Billy introduced me to Philip Levine. Asked me to come to a meeting with Philip Levine. Me and him went over to Miami Beach when he was the mayor. And then Billy abused Philip Levine.
I abused him? I abused him? Jeffrey Epstein's BFF? I abused him? How did I abuse him exactly?
Oh, God. Hey, they were friends.
I'm not friends with any mayor,
good
dude.
Good guy. Good mayor.
Who said that?
You said that. You brought me over there to meet the man.
I brought you over to meet the guy. What does that mean? Yeah, I've been to prison to meet murderers. I've been to prison to interview criminals. What do you say?
Luke, I think you're right about this. Well, I don't think he knows what it means to ask Luke to come to a meeting to meet somebody. He thinks that's a neutral thing. You ask Luke to meet somebody.
Hang on a second.
Exactly.
You're making an ask. You're making a request.
You're making him crazy. I'm assuming this guy's kosher.
I wasn't making a love connection. That was a Jewish reference, I'm pretty sure. Phil Levine, that was a Jewish thing.
Well, he needed your help to see if it was kosher. Yes.
The guy wanted to meet you. I said, you want to come and meet the mayor of Miami Beach? You said, yeah, I'll come meet the mayor of Miami Beach. I don't really see what the issue. I wasn't trying to make a love connection. This wasn't J-Date.
Luke is saying he's your boy. He would not be in Luke's life if you had not been the bridge of connection.
Thank you, Dan.
But what does that have to do with anything?
It means you're an asshole.
I'm not denying that. But what does this mean? I don't understand the position here. I don't understand the argument.
Never would you take Dan to a meeting with Joe Carreño?
Oh, absolutely. I think that would be f***ing hilarious.
You think you can get a meeting with Joe Carreño and take Dan in there?
What does that mean, though?
That means
just because I can get a meeting with someone. I have a cell phone. Should we call him right now? Let's call him.
A relationship. What Luke is saying is, if you lubricated the bridge to power in Miami Beach, it makes you culpable. It makes you an accomplice. It makes you are vouching for this person the way that you vouch that people get vouched for when crime families are meeting at the top of the food chain.
They don't want to talk to me. They don't want to talk to me because I tell the truth about them. They won't talk to me because I don't have a problem. They won't talk to me because they can't control me. Uncle Luke has chilled, has mellowed out a little bit. He's like, I'll transact with people and I'll do business with people and I'll talk to people of all. I appreciate that. And I appreciate, again, his transparency and his transactional nature. But I'm not like that.
Are you saying that Luke has a price?
What I'm saying is that, listen, when Luke ran.
Yes, I do.
Okay, there you go.
Luke ran for mayor, I voted for him.
Yeah, I got a price.
I can't.
There it is.
You know what my price is? Doing the right thing for the black community. If you're going to give me something for the black community that we have not been getting, yes, that is definitely my price. I will sit down with Trump if I have to.
Oh, which wait a minute now.
But that's fair. But I respect that. I respect Uncle Luke for that.
Listen. I'm not with the Democrat, the Republican, the independent, the moderate. Black community have been shorted for so many years. So I sit down with all these people. Look, this is what we need. I don't care who it is. I know a lot of people do some shady things. We're living in a banana republic, and we know all of them do shady things. I don't understand how people make $8,000 and $60,000, and when they retire, they are millionaires in politics. I don't understand that. But if I can get some things done, get a whole park at Liberty City, at Hadley Park, renovated, remodeled, classrooms, gymnasiums, funding for the kids to bring tutoring programs, then I'm gonna sit down and have a conversation with you. Regardless of how many dealings you got with how many developers, okay, I already know you're gonna do your thing. I can't stop that. But if I can get some things done in the black community that we don't have, I gotta sit down with these people, Dan.
When Uncle Luke ran for mayor of Miami-Dade County in 2011, I campaigned for him. I supported him. He got 11% of the vote, which actually forced the top two vote getters into a runoff. Luke was able to get enough of the vote in the double digits to force that runoff. And then the candidates started to court Luke for his endorsement, so he would bring his 11% of voters, certainly enough to win the popular vote at that point, or the runoff vote at that point. And Uncle Luke had a meeting with Carlos Jimenez, a man we've discussed on this program, a rotten, corrupt guy. And Uncle Luke came out of that meeting and said, Carlos Jimenez has my endorsement because he told me he would do X, Y, and Z for my community. And Carlos Jimenez immediately goes, oh, hell no, no, that's not what I said. I didn't promise him that. And Luke says, what are you talking about? You said that to my face. And I said, I love Uncle Luke because he went in, he made the deal, he came out, he said, this is the guy who's going to do something for my community, and I'm going to endorse. Of course, that guy immediately went, had to lie about it, of course, but I respect Luke's transparency and his position on this. I'm a white guy in America. I don't need anything. I'll call the shit out wherever I see it. And I'll do it, hopefully, in furtherance of giving people a platform who don't have a voice or trying to make things a little bit better in communities who have representation, like the Hardeman crime family, who take advantage of their constituency.
Stop
and take
Hardeman,
advantage
crime
of the
family.
Hey, I calls it like I sees it, man. I will say
Hardeman is a good guy. He's a good guy.
Get out of here, dude. But what I'm saying is, though, is Uncle Luke, what Uncle Luke said is that if he became the mayor, he would be the most transparent politician in history because he would have cameras following him around at all times in all meetings behind all closed doors to do a reality show. Show or a documentary or a documentary series about it. And I still think that would be a phenomenal idea, whether it's mayor, whether it's Congress, whether whatever it is. Uncle Luke, you would be the most transparent guy because you'd be out here telling it like it is and with cameras following around at all times. So when are you running for office and for what office will you run?
Oh, there we go. So Dan, you're going to sit there and let all this happen?
I want to see if you have news to break. You've run for office before. I want to see if you're going to announce right now publicly that Luke has political aspirations after a couple of campaigns that had some power behind them.
So yes, he is going to let it happen, Luke.
Let me tell you, I'm really seriously thinking about mayor of Miami-Dade County. That means I have to move back into the county, which is not a problem. And then part of me is thinking about Congress because Frederica Wilson represents now a large part of Miami Beach. I got a lot of friends who I went to school with over there that'll vote for me. You know, I'm thinking about both of them. I do have political aspirations.
I think you pull off those cowboy hats. Those Frederica Wilson cowboy hats.
You gotta love going from Two Live Crew to take the lyrics to the Supreme Court to Congressman Luther Campbell. God Almighty,
that sounds better, Dan. What you think?
We are old, is what I think. I think I can't believe that that's you being the establishment. That it's all going to end with Luther Campbell in power, making rules on behalf of jurisdictions, making laws.
I will be your congressman, Dan.
Would be.
I think your campaign should have curses in, though, right? Like, it should be, I'll be your f***ing congressman, right?
I can't wait to see the attack ads. That should be interesting.
Two Live Congress.
I know, right? I know the attack ads would be brilliant. They would have me with all the girls shaking their ass like they got some little kid in the background in a porno.
All right, good enough. See you later, Luke. Thank you. I think that time is done. I think we're not doing it that way anymore. Thank you, sir.
Oh, you done got politically correct. I see, Dan. See you later, Roy.
See you, Luke.
He'll see you at the next meeting, right?
The convention was last week. I missed out on that one.
Luke was at CPAC with Carollo.
Oh, no.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code Dan for a special offer when you sign up. That's code Dan, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
I think Miami is more tribal than the average place in the United States, even though, or in the world, although I suspect I'm going to find tribalism just about everywhere. So when Luther Campbell says that my people are corrupt, and he is correct, we also have a division, right, between Haitian Americans. Why don't you tell people the story here locally because of a political ad that was mailed to voters' home and it published a judge's cell number, and tell the people the details on where it is that Haitian Americans are not feeling supported.
Miami is uniquely corrupt, but there's a diversity of corruption. It's not unique to any particular color or nationality, or the idea that it's like your people or my people. It's a lot of people, and it doesn't seem to have a lot of borders when it comes to the corruption. But there is a lot of tribalism when it comes to our politics here. I often describe Miami as, you know, Game of Thrones in paradise with iguanas and gators instead of dragons, you know, and like that's what it's like. We have our fiefdoms, we plant our flags, there's battles and wars between, you know, you shouldn't get into a road rage incident in Miami until you see which flag is flying from the rearview mirror, you know? It's like, it is that intense. And you will go through blocks of Miami Beach where there is a Brazilian flag, then there's a Venezuelan flag, then there's a Cuban flag, then there's a Guatemalan flag, a Dominican flag, and so on. There are blocks and neighborhoods and, in fact, entire cities and municipalities that have been kind of, we have self-segregated in that way. And that always seems to seep into our politics. What it rarely seeps into is in judicial politics, the super sexy circuit court races that we were talking about with Mike, but it has happened. And it is a huge scandal. There was a big press conference this week with Haitian American leaders because the Diaz La Portilla political dynasty, the political crime family that has been plaguing Miami-Dade County with their corruption and racism and demagoguery for generations, brother after brother after brother, just shitting all over this state and this community. One of these characters, Renier Diaz La Portilla, is now running for judge against a judge who is the first Haitian American judge in the history of Miami-Dade County.
Fred Serafin.
Listen, everybody has problems with judges, right? Judges can be assholes. They can be ego cases. Some lawyers like them when they're winning. They hate them when they're losing. The guy has his issues, but is otherwise a very respected judge in Miami-Dade County. Again, the first Haitian-American judge. Renier Diaz La Portilla and his political crime family have decided to take this guy on. Renier is a mess. This is a guy who is a kind of perennial loser in politics, in life. He runs his law office out of like his parents' mattress, empty mattress warehouse. He was forced to resign before he was fired from the, I got to read this. I want to get this right. He was an assistant public defender in Miami-Dade County. Essentially, they said, listen, if you don't resign and spare yourself the embarrassment of being fired, it's going to be a mess. So they said that he had violent mood swings. He became insanely and instantly irate for no good reason. He was chronically absent. He blew off his bosses and was disrespectful to other attorneys who had to pick up his slack because he was failing his clients. And these are pretty desperate clients. They need help from a public defender. They called him, quote, unstable, entitled, lazy, and absent, end quote. And this is a guy who also got into a fist fight outside of a Spanish language radio station when a Miami City commissioner back in 2000 was on the radio, called his dad a drug dealer because his dad got popped for marijuana back in the day, charges that were dropped. But the guy shows up after he comes from his brother Alex Diaz La Portilla's a political event for losing the Miami mayor's race. Renier shows up and he starts banging on the door. And the woman who's hosting the show is like, says literally, Mary, Mother of God, the Diaz La Portillas are here. Send help. Listeners start dialing 911, and there is a bloody fist fight in the parking lot of this Spanish language radio station.
He's got an anger problem.
He's got all kinds of problems. And now he's running to be a judge in Miami-Dade because Miami.
And what did or his people do to Fred Serafin?
So his brother, Alex Diaz La Portilla, who is a corrupt commissioner in the city of Miami, he has a political committee who put out these insanely racist, lying, and misleading mailers. not atypical in Miami-Dade politics, but really not permitted in these judicial races, because they're not only committed to the typical kind of campaign laws and things, but in judicial races in particular, there's also ethical considerations. There are certain professional considerations and things they are allowed and not allowed to do. And so what they did was they put out a flyer that published Fred Serafin's phone number, his cell phone number on the flyer, said to call him and tell him to release his criminal record because he is a criminal who committed an armed robbery and refuses to discuss his secret criminal past. Judge Serafin has talked quite openly about this arrest because he was racially profiled and falsely arrested for a crime he did not commit, was exonerated for it, and it is part of his personal journey and origin story as a jurist. It's the reason he decided to get into the law. It's the reason he went to law school, became an attorney, later became a judge, because he wanted to combat this type of racism and this type of crimes against innocent people from being committed. So
wronged there and now being weaponized and being taken out of context to simply smear him with not even partial truths, but misrepresented truths.
Deliberately about his criminal record, which is a violation of all kinds of ethical canons with respect to the Florida Bar, the Florida Judicial Qualifications Commission. It's not inconceivable, by the way, if he were to be elected, that he could be removed from office because of this. And already there's been a complaint filed against Diaz-Laportillo with the Florida Bar, with the Florida Judicial Qualifications Commission. And it's very clearly, incidentally, an effort to exploit and this is an issue here. We have a lot of candidates in Dade County who change their name to Hispanic surnames, or they take the last name of a husband or a spouse that they've never used before, but now that they're running for office,
better names to use in our voting system.
And they're deliberately running against this Haitian American judge and attempting to vilify this man of color with demonstrable lies.
That's frightening. To have somebody levying a judgment on you for racial bias.
To continue,
and I'll be a judge. Yeah.
That's just, oh my God.
J.C. Planus, a very prominent former Republican state representative, former elections attorney for the Miami-Dade Republicans. He has actually filed those complaints against Diaz-Laportillo, and he has called on three mayors in Miami-Dade County: Miami Mayor Francis Suarez, Coral Gables Mayor Vince Lago, and Hialeah Mayor Esteban Bovo, to revoke their very loud public endorsements of Renier Diaz-Laportillo.
Good afternoon. My name is Juan Carlos J.C. Planas. I am the attorney who filed the bar complaints against Renier Diaz-Laportillo and Teresa Cervera. In the case of Cervera, we have it in the complaint, and there is proof not only that she changed her name specifically to sound Hispanic, but that she chose Lodi Jean to run against because Lodi was a Haitian judge. We also have it in the complaint, the bar violation, that she lied not only to the Miami Herald, but to the various blogs that interviewed her as to why she changed her name, when she changed her name, and how she picked Lodi Jean to run against. And that is in the bar complaint that was sent not only to the Florida Bar, but to the Florida Judicial Qualifications Commission. We also have an email from Cervera to Renier Diaz-Laportillo showing proof that they had spoken before they each filed against the two Haitian American judges. The bar complaint against Diaz-Laportillo is very straightforward, as we have Channel 10 here, and they reported on the fake and malicious attacks against Judge Serafin. This is lying against a specific member of the judiciary. It is not only a violation of Canon 7, it is a violation of the Florida Bar rules, which prohibit an attorney from making false and malicious statements against a sitting judge. It is unequivocal that these folks filed against the two Haitian judges solely because of their Haitian names. This cannot stand. As a Hispanic growing up in this community, I saw in the 80s and 90s when Hispanics would run for judge and they were shut down because of their Hispanic names. I cannot, as a Hispanic, in good conscience, allow to be done to my Haitian brothers and sisters what was done to Hispanics. Therefore, I call on City of Miami Mayor Francis Suarez, to renounce his endorsement of Rainier Diaz de la Portilla. I call on Hialeah Mayor Steve Bovo to renounce his endorsement of Rainier Diaz de la Portilla. I call on Coral Gables Mayor Vince Lago to renounce his endorsement of Rainier Diaz de la Portilla. The Hispanic attorneys that donated to Rainier's campaign, and I will be naming them on social media despite the fact that some are my friends, I will publicly call on them to ask for their contributions back. This lying, defaming ad against a very well-respected Haitian judge cannot stand, and that's why I was forced to file these bar complaints. Thank you.
Thank you, Billy. We will talk to you again next week. You will tell people how to vote next week, correct? We've got to get over the next couple of weeks. We've got important power that needs to be distributed.
We forgot about Ken Russell.
Ken Russell, next week. Next week, we will talk about Ken Russell. We will make time for Ken Russell talk next week. Thank you, Billy.
Cocaines.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.